Thank you
for listening to
On the Regime with Yanni.
Radio Waterloo, CKMS 102.7 FM. Tonight with me in studio is Marcel, Miss Marcel Lambert. Thank you so much for coming to the studio.
Thank you for having me tonight.
And thank you, Rosemary Redshaw, for connecting us. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, no, Rosemary's awesome, so I'm very happy that she connected us.
Very. So do you want to give us a little bit about your background and tell us what brought you to the studio tonight?
Yeah, well, I mean, the common denominator is Rosemary. I've known her for many, many years, and I first met her while in prison, the prison at GVI, so Grand Valley Institute for Women. She was the chaplain at the time, and I had just come in from Panama. So I did about 2.5 years in Panama and then did another year at Grand Valley in Kitchener before being released to a halfway house.
Okay.
And so we've stayed in contact over the years. And now, I mean, we attended the same church for some years where I led worship there. And now she's heavily involved with the Freedom Center in Cambridge that's supporting veterans and youth. And so I do live worship Mondays in Preston on King Street while they are doing their food, their sandwich program.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So some of the people listening might have heard you sing. That's so awesome.
Yeah.
So how has that been?
It's amazing. It's a gift that I've received that I've always had, but not always used.
Okay.
I've always loved to sing. It was something that always brought joy to my life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm only now in this current season of life actually recording music, and the hope is to have that released for May 24th, that weekend.
Oh, wow. That's coming up really soon.
Very soon.
Yes.
Yeah.
So do you write your own music?
I do. So everything that I've written so far, it's just been like a download. So I am a gospel artist, and it's just been like that divine moment where you just receive not only all the lyrics, but I hear the music. I'm not a musician. That's the only problem. So that's been an obstacle. But I hear the lyrics. I hear every instrument that is supposed to be in the song. I can hear it. And just the melodies, everything. I get kind of that download. And so then I can kind of sing it out to that person. I just have to write it out, sing it to someone who can play an instrument, and that helps us to get to the place of production.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to hearing it. We're trying to email me the music.
Yeah. Hopefully it will go through to you, but so the songs that will be released this May are Joy. I actually wrote that song while in Panama, in prison in Panama, and What Is Life was written about a year ago.
I don't see it in here right now. It could be because I have a different spelling in my name. I wonder if that is the thing.
Let's see.
We can... Well, I've been looking forward to meeting you, and it's sort of the whole social interaction and how important it is to have a conversation. And just like you're saying with the Freedom Center,
mm-hmm.
I was also fortunate to get introduced to them, and I have made it out to Preston on Hamilton Street there.
Yeah.
It's a nice spot, but that's not where the Monday event is at. So that is sandwiches. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. So it's a sandwich program run by the Freedom Center. The support is also for the veterans that are in the community. So there is a shelter that's not too far from there. It's not too far from the church there on Hamilton Street, but it's right on King Street. So we're right front center. We're at the Cenotaph. And there's just a little bit of a park there. I think they actually call it Cenotaph Park. I could be wrong, so don't quote me. But yeah, so then the idea is that we just kind of come, we set up, there's coffee, there's hot chocolate. Sometimes we got some homemade brownies. We might have some clothes that are donated through the Freedom Center that are set up there. And then there's worship, there's music, but there's the conversation, there's fellowship, there's the opportunity to connect with people. And we do have those that know that we're going to be there. And then there's others that are just happening to go down the street that we engage, and then we're able to have a conversation and just get to know them a little bit better.
Nice. So what time is that?
So that's actually 5 o'clock to 6 p.m.
Oh, okay.
Every Monday. Now, if we're not there for some particular reason, a holiday, long weekend, something like that, then we'll let you guys know. But yeah, you can come and check us out on King Street in Preston.
That sounds awesome. Yeah. Well, I found your email.
Awesome.
So I'm going to load it up, and then we're going to listen to New Joy that you said it will be released now in May.
In May. That's the hope. Yeah.
That's the hope.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
About to break, and I'm drowning in. trials, joy. You give me joy.
So that was New Joy with Marcel Lambert, who is also in the studio with us.
Yeah.
And I was just saying how uplifting that was.
Yeah. And just as we were saying, like, Joy was written at a time of my life where it really was one of the darkest moments of my life. I was in prison in Panama, in a country that I didn't speak the language. I knew no one. I had no connections to anybody, like no one. And so prison in Panama is very different to what it is in prison in Canada. And I have to say that I'm fortunate in the sense of being able to experience the difference between systems, because automatically you're going to think that it's the worst. It really was. It was really bad. I'm not going to say it wasn't really bad, but there were elements of being in a prison in a foreign country, in particular in Panama, that was beautiful versus what I experienced here in Canada. And so in Panama, we didn't have the physical stuff. We didn't have running water in some days. Some days you just didn't have water. The water would run out and you would be in the shower knowing, like, I got like 2 seconds left. I got to get going, right? And you didn't know how long you were going to be without water, right? I learned very quickly how to bathe myself with an entire bottle of water, like those little ones. The electricity could go out. You might not have electricity. There's different things that would happen. There were fights that were happening. That there's the idea that you're a foreigner, so you're already trying to kind of assimilate into a bit of a culture, but you're on the outside. And then you've got other women that are there that are having like generational issues, because there's mother, daughter, granddaughter in the prison. There's some that are coming from different areas. They're gang related areas, so they have beef and this kind of stuff. And I don't want to paint a picture of something that you would see on TV, because in a sense it isn't. Mm-hmm. You're kind of in a dorm style environment where there's about 50 bunk beds in a house, but there's 100 women in a house. So who gets the bunk beds? Just works on a bit of a seniority. And you're not given a mattress. You don't have pillows. You don't, you know, they might bring food around, but a lot of the food you didn't want to eat, because you would see them on TV and it'd be like, well, there's a lizard found in the food. There was mice found in the food, like all this kind of madness. So you're just like, I got to find a way to get food in here for myself.
Yeah.
And so if you had someone in the community, you could send the money or get money sent to them. They would get food in for you. They would bring it. They would line up. You were lucky if you had someone to visit you, which I was gracious to actually have that. Eventually, you know, I started going to like church services and wherever you can go out. And one of the women that actually did time in the States started visiting me monthly. My parents, after they found out I was there, because they didn't know that I was even in the country or even arrested, they would send money to her and she would bring food in for me. And so we were able to get like proper food to cook and eat. But even cooking was an interesting thing. You know, those pans that you would plug in. We had something like that, but I mean, like, the plugs would blow up, so we'd have to cut the cord and this kind of
Oh, wow.
And you would always, what I learned was patience, because everything was a line. You had to wait. Like, the kitchen was small. You could have two pans hooked up at the same time. Maybe if someone had their own, they would hook up a third one, but you might expect something to go off, like, you know, power surge or something.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just cramped, so you had to get in the line to wait. You had to get in the line. There was only 3 shower stalls for 100 women. You got to get in line. You got to wait. 2 bathrooms, 2 toilets for over 100 women. You got to get in line and wait.
Wow.
Right? And so that's what you got used to. But at the same time, saying all that, there was joy. And part of that came because I realized that I needed faith to be able to operate. I put my trust in God. I can't hide that. I won't ever hide that. I put my trust in God. I was baptized in prison. And that faith is what led me to be strong. Yeah. So, it's what changed my life, right? Because all of the bitterness, all that anger, all of that, torment even that I was experiencing there, I had to start letting it go. And it was when I started writing music. And so this song was written in the midst of all that kind of chaos and madness where I started experiencing joy. We had a woman that she's passed now, but she was my prison mom. Her name was Andrea. And I love her to death, but she, you know, it was just those times that you remember with the people that you were there with out of a very bad decision. And poor choices in my life, I ended up in prison in a foreign country. But as a result of that, I met some of the best people that I would never have otherwise met. And I have growth that has put me on the path of life of where I am today. Even now that I have my daughter's 7, and it's so past the time of my incarceration. But I had to make a decision on whether or not I wanted her to know about this. And I got to the point where I was like, I'm not going to hide it from her. I had the discussion with her and I started telling her, you know, and it's not a situation to think because she's going to walk her own path, right? I can only pour into her the best way that I know how to. But I shared it with her because it's still yet a story of overcoming. It's not the dependence on myself. I can't do anything in my own strength. I depend on Jesus Christ. And sharing that with her, she has to make her own decision on that. I can only, once again, pour into her as best as I know how, because that's what saved my life. But I chose to tell her this because I'm like, how can I take something that was so crucial to who I am today and hide it from her and not allow her to really understand why I am who I am today? Mm-hmm. Right. And it's interesting because now she wants to come into the prison with me. She's like, she can't wait to go into the prison. I'm like, I don't know if they're going to allow that. So but after my period, the time in Panama, the beautiful thing was just in that time, I was there for 2.5 years. There are women that when I arrived had already been there for 2.5 years, had not been to court yet. They had not been sentenced yet and were still waiting. I went home. I got there. I was sentenced. I was transferred back to Canada in 2.5 years. That itself was a blessing. I came back and immediately I saw the difference. Like I saw the difference in the system. You became more of a number and just, you know, like you were an inmate.
Yeah.
We weren't women. Like, I would wake up in the morning while I was in Panama. It would be Mother's Day. They'd bring in a mariachi band to everyone.
Oh.
Every single house, they brought a mariachi. Every holiday, and I'm going to tell you, Latin America, they have a lot of holidays, right? But every holiday, we celebrated together. That was the time where it didn't matter if you were a foreigner. It didn't matter what area you came from, what neighborhood you lived in. You just celebrated, and you just had that fellowship. People came together. In the prison here, it's almost a little bit frowned upon that you shouldn't do that. So I come up, it's October. I think it was November when I came back, in 2011. And I'm like, they're selling turkeys at the prison. You can get a turkey. So I was like, let's put in for a turkey. I'm excited. I'm ready to go. Right. Cause of my experience. And I was kind of just like, nah, and I was like, we're not doing it that way. We're going to buy a turkey and we're going to have dinner together, guys. Because we would clean the house. I mean, like, all the beds would come out the house. We're spraying water. They cleaned everything. They would paint. They did everything. They got the house ready. And they would celebrate. Because that's typically what you would do on the outside. And the idea is if the goal is for us to be reintegrated into community and to assimilate back into community, then we should be able to have community where we are.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But it was a stark difference. And there were different pieces of it that I was just like, man, they want us to come back here and I'm not coming back. I'm going to do what I need to do to get out of here and I'm not coming back.
Yeah.
I did come back. I did go back. But I went back as a volunteer and being able to pour into the women who are currently there. So I will not go back for those reasons, but I'm glad to go back to now go in and worship with women and to pray with them and to just speak my testimony to them.
Mm-hmm. That's so important.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what kind of program is that that goes into the prison?
So really, what happened is Rosemary connected me to the current chaplain. What happened was I just heard a number of individuals that kept saying like, oh, I want to go into the prison. I want to go into the prison. And really, it was me just trying to help them to get into the prison. So I was like, oh, I know someone that might be able to get that ball rolling kind of thing. Connected with Rosemary. I spoke to the current chaplain, Chaplain M, at Grand Valley Institute for Women. And we decided to meet on a lunch break one day. And I just gave her my testimony. And it got to the point where it's like, now I'm going into the prison, kind of. And I understood it right as it was kind of unfolding. It's like, I'm supposed to go into the prison, right? And so by that time, I didn't have the volunteer papers or anything yet. I hadn't had any checks yet, nothing. And the door was open. So I started to go. So since last year, January, I started going in once a month. And just singing with the women. They love just to sit and worship and sing. And was able to share my testimony with them and just be like, hey, you know, you guys are here right now, but there's so much more. And this does not determine who you are. This current time is going to end at some point. Even lifers at some point would have an opportunity of getting out, really. In many cases, right? It's not the end. Now, the reality is there are some that remain and they're going to be there for life. But it comes down to how you want to live that, those days out, right? Yeah. So you can be a light in darkness or you can be a part of the darkness. Which one do you want to do? Mm-hmm. I'm just grateful that the time that I had while behind bars, I was able to come to a place of light. And now be light for others. Like there's so much more yet that they have to offer these women. There's so much more that they have to offer. And the reality is, and even that time, there's, you know, these statistics that they put out, and a lot of women come from a place of abuse, of experiencing some level of abuse in their lives, some sort of trauma early on in their lives. And we don't recognize sometimes as we're going in our path how these instances affect us. The reality is it does. And if we're not in a place that we're dealing with it, that it's going to speak out in different ways, right? And sometimes before it's too late when we notice that it's now kind of consuming us. Yeah, yeah.
I know, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, thanks for sharing your story. It's how to begin your life again and stuff, you know, like the mm-hmm. kind of times that we live in, even with the education.
Yeah.
You know, something like having enough teachers' assistants in the classroom and making sure everybody stays on track with their schooling and things like that. It's really hard, actually. Like, there's so many things that determine, you know, how our life, or abuse, or like you say, or, mm-hmm. you know, parental addictions. So many things that we don't choose, as a, you know, coming into this world.
Yeah. The thing is, we don't know what this life is going to hand out to us. You know, that simple saying of like, well, you don't get to choose your parents, right? We don't.
I wouldn't have chosen differently, even with how...
Neither would have I.
Right? It's... Yeah, there's... with all the good comes the bad and with the bad comes the good or something like that.
Yeah. No matter what, I think we're all where we're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
It's just what we're given, how we deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
I have great parents. They didn't come from a place where it's like I experienced divorce. My parents are still together. They love each other dearly. They did everything. They gave us everything they possibly could. They're both foreigners. They came to this country when they were young. They worked very hard in this country to establish themselves and have everything that they have. And always tried to teach us the the understanding that it was important to work hard for what you had as well. And as even for myself, like, it wasn't a situation, like, when I went to prison, I already had a diploma. I worked great jobs. I'd worked for the city. I worked in housing. Like, I could leave a job and just be like, you know what? I want a better job. And just go boom and go somewhere, interview, and get another job. I wasn't struggling in that sense. But I also didn't understand my purpose. I didn't know what my direction in life was. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if you don't understand who you are and who you were created to be, then you will fall for anything and you will go anywhere, right? And so without me truly understanding my purpose, and that being said, I'd always sang. I'd been in choirs from when I was young. I remember being as young as six, singing Whitney Houston, mm-hmm. you know? When I was in elementary school, there would be times where I would just be singing and people would just sit around and just listen kind of thing. It was always a joy. And as I got older, there was different times where I would join different choirs and I would just kind of stay in the background. It was never anything. I still today, I'll tell you the truth, I don't like to sing in front of people. Like, it gives me nerves. If you want to talk, it's stage fright, whatever you want to call it, like that, I got all of that, right? But I do it because there's still a joy. And once again, I don't operate from my own strength, right? Mm-hmm. And so, but I always remember these different areas of my life where music was always involved, the art of singing was always involved. And I always used to hear people say to me, like, hey, you're wasting your gift. It never meant anything to me, but now I'm just like, oh Lord, please don't take this away from me, kind of thing, right? Like, now when you understand the fullness and the power of music is very powerful.
It is
very powerful, and it can change your mood. Yeah. Imagine you walk into a store and you leave singing the song that you don't even know.
Right.
And that can change your mood completely.
Yeah.
Like, music is very powerful. And so I'm very grateful for this opportunity to be one that's not only just a singer, I'm a worshiper. And just be able to give that gift to others. So anywhere that I have to go, like, I will never say no, because it's not my gift to say no to, right? So as long as it's within God's will, I'm gonna go, I will sing, and I will do it. So however long the doors of the prison is open, I will continue to go and sing. However long I am on the street, on King Street, I will be singing, and wherever else I'm led to do it, mm-hmm. it would be something that I will continue to do.
Well, you're releasing some music this month.
Yes.
So that's very exciting. Are you putting that online? Like, how can we find more of it?
Absolutely. So it will be online. I will be hooked up to the major streaming places. So like Spotify and all those types of places. I definitely will have something available to advertise on Instagram and Facebook. You can find me on Facebook to search my name, Marcel Lambert. For Instagram, you will find, I believe it's Worship Is My Worship. Worship, WARSHIP, as the second half of Worship. And I also will actually have some music videos. So both of them will be music videos. You'll find them on YouTube. You can search Marcel Lambert or Worship Is My Worship as well. But all this you will find where to find it on Facebook.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Do you have a local producer? Like, how do you make your music?
So I have a producer. In terms of the tracks themselves, they were actually produced out of Cleveland, Ohio. So it was just a matter of just getting the tracks done and then sending them, and they just kind of develop it. I'm going to be working with some different producers for these next songs that are coming up. So that's going to be very exciting. And then I do have Brad Douglas that's just outside of Guelph, and he does like all the other engineering. And so in terms of doing the vocals and recording, the background vocals that you heard on there, that was my pastor, Michael Harris Austin. You can also hear him on local radio stations in the morning. And Nikalia Austin, Nikalia Harris, his wife. We also had another friend, Nathaniel, that came on the track. Wow. And Dengifue, that's also their artist. So they're all amazing singers, amazing artist as well, and they came onto the track to sing as the backup and whatnot. And then in terms of like we session artists that would come in and do different pieces that add that dynamic to them. To the music. Wow. So it's very awesome. It's a new world for me to learn all these pieces too. So I am by no means an expert. I'm just humble in my learnings and very grateful for the people who are around me that are guiding and leading me, that I can say, hey, how do I do this? What's the best piece in that? And they have experience far more than me that they're able to say, this is good. This is where you may want to do this and whatnot. I have another friend that's staying with me right now, Naomi. Naomi Norris, she's an awesome gospel artist as well. She's already released some music, and so she was one of the main people that got me going in the first place. Nice. And just give me the encouragement. And so the hope is to also be putting out some music with her in the future. She's got some new things that are coming out. And so there's gonna be some new music that's gonna also come out after these two are released, and they're gonna be new producers. The person who's doing my videography was just interesting that I've just met them in the last year. And so it's once again a situation of those divine appointments where the right people just kinda come into your path, and just sharing the songs with them, and they offer to do the music. So it's it's pretty amazing.
Wow.
Yeah.
So do you do like live performances with the other backup artists and things like that? Like, do you?
I do worship with them at church.
Wow.
Yeah. So we do worship at Kingdom Life in Guelph, 42 Margaret Street. So every Saturday we're there. And so we do a bit of a rotation. So, but we do get the opportunity to worship together, which is pretty awesome. Yeah, and then Mike, Pastor Mike, he also goes into the prison with me. So it's me and him that go in together.
You sound very busy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a good busy. So I try to always create a balance. Once again, I do have, you know, my daughter. When we go out on Monday, she sings with me. So she's awesome. She plays piano too. So she goes out, she sings with me. And it's just a matter of being mom. And solely being mom, mm-hmm. I work full time. I work with KITV as well. And then I do worship. I have my music, and it's very important, but it's finding balance. And of course I have my family too, right? So there's different aspects of life, and it's just a matter of when to shut off and when to turn back on. I think it's always something that I can always be better at. And I think we all have to learn to be better at it and intentional of the space and the time that we set apart for the things that are very important, and when we need to, where something begins and where something ends.
Right. So how did you become involved with KITV?
So I was at a conference at Kingdom Life in Guelph, and it was a KITV Unstoppable Faith conference, and that's where I also met Naomi actually a couple of years ago. And so it was just this matter of, I'm like, okay, someone had spoke to me and said, like, you need a mentor. Like, I have a mentor for singing that was, you know, encouraged me and just helped me in terms of worship leading and that kind of piece. But then they're like, you need a mentor in terms of your songs and getting your songs released. I was like, okay. And I'm sitting there, and it was just in those moments where Holy Spirit's just kind of like, that's her. And I was like, okay. So I just went up to her. I was like, listen, I'm supposed to talk to you about music. And I had my songs with me, and it was such an interesting situation. She's like, listen, she told me after, like, we just hit it off, and we've been just like sisters ever since, right? And she told me after, like, hey, when you told me that, I was kind of like, not about it, but after I knew it was something that I needed to do. And it was just one of those moments where it's just like, okay, I'm in a station of life where I need to just be obedient and do the thing that I know I'm supposed to do, and something is going to grow and come to life out of that. So from there, she was connected to KITV. We started doing different work together. I was still in my healthcare organization. It's called the Grenada Hospitals Assistance Fund, which is based out of Toronto. It's a healthcare organization. I was president of that group at that time, and I was like, you come on board and help me do these admin things, because we have a very similar mind in terms of administrative work and all those kind of background pieces that we do, and just being connected in certain areas to just make things come to life. Like, if I just like to get things done, right? And she's very much like that. And so that brought me on board to KITV and just working with Dr. Kazumba, who's the owner of KITV. He does a lot of evangelism, but then he has the TV network as well. And it just started to just progress. Now, the one thing about Dr. Kazumba is he saw me speak some years ago, because I do public speaking as well. And he was just kind of like, when are you going to have your show?
So I was nice.
Okay, sure. And so I did do some shows that would be found on my Facebook. But in terms of being consistent and doing that show on my own, which I knew was something that I was supposed to do, it's just, once again, time. Eventually, I got to the point where I was like, okay, it's time to do it. So that was like a year ago. But in that time, I was just getting to know Dr. Kazumba more, being able to support them more with the planning of the conference that it should be either, if not this year, the next year, and those planning pieces. And just, it just birthed out that relationship of supporting them and what they're doing, because they're doing great work. So that's something that I kind of do to the side. And then the hope was, okay, let's actually get things together so that I am doing my show, telling my testimony, bringing other individuals on where I can do these interviews. And then it became where I did one interview and then he was kind of like, okay, you know, you're going to do other interviews, kind of thing, right?
Nice.
Which is cool. So yeah, it just, things have,
if you're good at something, then there's more of that grown, work coming.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it feels at home, like doing this. Speaking is, I like to sit and just talk and converse, and I love to learn the origins of things and just have a deeper knowledge and sense of why things are the way they are, where they've come from. So it's just something that really is natural for me, but I enjoy doing it. Mm-hmm. It doesn't come cumbersome. I think that if anything like this ever became cumbersome, then I know I need to step away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're enjoying it. It's mm-hmm. coming to you.
Yeah. No, it's been a journey. It's taken a lot to get to this place, but I'm grateful for arriving at this place. And I'm just excited to see what the next steps are. And I think once you get through these hurdles, it's about helping someone else to get there as well.
Yeah. Well, thanks for sharing.
No problem.
That's incredible. Okay, well, let me see if I can find... Do you have any other music you would like to listen to while I'm trying to find your actual music here?
You know, can you get access to YouTube?
Yep.
If you can look up He Is the Life by Michael Harris Austin. I said that backwards. Michael Austin Harris. That would be a great song to share. Yeah, this is stuck in queue still.
Michael Austin Harris.
Yeah.
And what is this song?
He Is the Light.
We have Louder, and there's an interview. Maybe I have to find.
He's singing Louder?
Louder.
Let's try it. If it's him, let me see. I'm going to come around to you.
Yeah, come on around.
I love radio stations that we can just be very candid.
Very, very, yeah. This is where we learn things, and it's okay.
Let's do it. That's him. I hope that's his song.
It does say Michael Austin Harris. Maybe...
Oh,
praises ring throughout the ages. Your hope it sings. Your grace is greater than all our sin. Throughout our days of your love, we'll sing louder, louder. Your love is louder than anything. Louder, louder. Your love is louder than anything. It's louder than the hurricane. It's peace within the pain. Lord, your love is loud. Lord, your love is louder. And it's greater than all of our sufferings. Our hearts can't help but sing. Lord, your love is loud. Lord, your love is loud. I'm gonna dance, dance, turn around, jump, jump up the ground. Lord, your love is loud. I'm gonna dance, dance, turn around, jump, jump up the ground. Lord, your love is loud.
We're gonna dance, dance, turn around, jump, jump up the ground. Lord, your love is loud. We're gonna dance, dance, turn around, jump, jump up the ground. Lord, your love is loud. It's loud.
There we go, Michael Austin Harris. That was Louder, requested by Marcel Lambert here.
Yeah.
And while we're getting the next song, we'll do a bit of chatting. Mm-hmm. It's been really nice to meet you, first of all.
Yeah.
And you're in the same building, which is incredible.
Yes, KITV's here at 283 Duke Street. So it's kind of an awesome realization, right?
That right.
We're at the same place.
We talked about getting together for a coffee first.
Yeah.
And it's like, what? You're in the same building?
Kind of cool, right?
There used to be a coffee place in the building, I know, years ago. I don't mm-hmm. remember exactly when, but I know at kind of in the adventure place that, there yeah. in the same vicinity.
Which I was like, oh, it'd be a really good idea to have one in here, really.
Yeah. So just give us a moment here. We're going to be able to play more music. So when can we look forward? What was the date again that you're hoping?
May 24th, that weekend, I'm hoping to have everything done and ready to launch. So, yeah, that's the end goal that we are striving for.
That's exciting.
It is. It's amazing to kind of see this come to life because, once again, like, Joy was written 14 years ago. So it's for it now to be coming to this place where, you know, and the interesting thing about that song was, well, I was telling you earlier, I had forgotten even the melody of the song. So I just had these songs sitting in a binder in the back of my closet.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And every now and then I'll just pull these notebooks that I had where I was writing my thoughts down or the songs that I had written while in Panama. And I would go over it and just be like, wow, this is what my thought was. And you see, it's always good to journal. I think that journaling is something that we all should do because it shows growth, the growth that we went through, things that we've overcome in our life. When we're going through something at this present time and we're just like, man, how am I going to get through this? But then you go back in these journals and you're like, man, this is what I went through this long ago. And I got through it. I'm here today, right? So I was going through this binder of songs. I get through it and I was like, wow, I would love to know what this melody of this song is. I'm like, I'm listening to the lyrics. I'm like, this is great. I don't remember how to sing it. And it was just a simple prayer of like, Lord, if you want me to do something with these songs, if I'm supposed to do something with it, then I need the melody. And it took, you know, it was a little while. I'm not going to say prayers are answered just like that. Sometimes we got to pray a lot. Sometimes there's an answer and it's no. And one day I'm folding laundry and all of a sudden I realize I'm singing the song. And I was like, oh, I got to grab my phone. I'm recording it. I got the melody down. And I worked with Joel Parisian, who helped me get the song kind of dung out on a piano and then was able to get it into full production. And and then here we are in 2024, where the song is about to be released. I was like, man, like how amazing is that, right? Like how, yeah.
It goes to show, if you take the first step, if you know the next step, we may not know the end part, but it's so important to take that next step. And
that's faith.
Yeah.
That's... Blind faith. This is what faith is, right? It's just, it's the things that we don't see, but we hope for. Like, it was just a matter of, okay, I'm just going to go this. And, it's such a blessing because there was just these, along the way of getting the song to that place, because recording, I mean, you know this, recording takes money. Like, it's not cheap, right? But I've been blessed through different people that along the way in different situations, I was like, okay, now I have this portion, I can do this part. Now I have this portion, I can help someone else get to this part and we can get to, you know? So it's just been carrying me through to the finish line.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was amazing too.
That's so beautiful.
It is, right?
It's very inspiring.
Yeah. So I would say this to anybody who would happen to listen to this, maybe listening right now, and there's any goals that you have in your life, there's dreams, like don't put your dreams away. Don't put them in the back of your closet. You know, break your dreams out. I know it's interesting that we tell our kids, you can be anything. But at the same time, we'd be like, well, you can't be a singer. You'll never make money. You can't be an artist. You'll never make money. And I'm not saying that's true or false. But what I do know is that I was one of those that was like, I would love to be a songer. I want to be Mariah Carey, you know, and this kind of thing. Now, I know who I sing for and why I sing, right? But it's something that no matter what capacity, it doesn't mean you're going to be on the biggest stage with the largest auditorium. But no matter if it's one person that it transforms their lives, you've done what you were supposed to do. And as long as you're doing it with a clean heart, with a right spirit, that you're doing it in the sense that it's also bringing you joy, but it's not for a place of self-edification, then you're doing the right thing and you're successful in it. Like, I think we take the idea of success and we make it something that needs to be this money-generating machine. And it's not always going to be like that. Sometimes it just means that you're doing something and you're being obedient, but you don't know the impact that it's going to have on somebody. And so you have to be faithful and just go forward and do it. Yeah.
People don't really talk about obedience, right?
Yeah, it's necessary. I have to live my life that way. And that's where I got to. If I stepped out of obedience, I'd probably be in prison again, to be honest, right? Like if I didn't walk in obedience, there's times, and it can be something as simple as I'm not going to go out or I'm not going to this place today. I'm not. And I look at my life because this is just such a small snapshot of the testimony and the story. Like I have story for days. But I've seen things in life. I've been places. It's amazing that I'm alive in the first place, right? Like I've experienced car crashes where I shouldn't have survived. I've been in situations where people were murdered and it was happening on top of me. They were right here. I'm right here and they're being stabbed to death. I've been in situations where I could have just been robbed and if I didn't. And then really, I believe that is the grace of God. I have no other way to say it. He saves you for the purpose that he has for you, right? And, you know, when it comes down to it, it's obedience now it's surrenderance to him now, where it's like, okay, I'm not going to do these things because I did these things in my prior life and I saw where this took me on the path. I have to obey him. I have to. And when I do have joy, because nothing that he tells me to do or asks me to do is bad. It actually brings more to my life. And when I got to, it's like a parent, right? When you tell your kids, don't do this because if you do this, this is what's going to happen. They don't always believe you. Like I look at my daughter and I'm like, I'm going to let you get that. I'm going to let you do that. You know, because I've told you and I can see, it doesn't mean that I know exactly this, but you can tell that that's going to have some harm to you or lead you down the wrong path. Now she has a choice. She can either obey what I've said or she can try it in her own strength. When she tries it in her own strength, she's like, oh man, I just fell. I'm hurting now. Now you want me to hug you. And when it comes down to it, if she had obeyed what I had said for her to do, it would have saved her from a lot of trouble. I think that we all have these routes, as I said before, we have these paths and these routes. Nothing's by mistake. I don't think that we live in a life of chance. I think that we have a path and we have choices that we make, and those choices are going to have outcomes. Now, the choices that I made brought me to a place of prison, brought me into situations and places. And it once again is by the grace of God that I didn't get either raped or even like, I mean, imagine I left the country to a country that I don't know. I've never been there before. Someone could have easily taken my passport and I could have been a sex slave, to be honest. Like, it's only by the grace of God, because some people are leaving their countries to go for work and they never come back to their families. The first thing they do is take their passport.
Yeah.
And they cannot leave.
Yeah.
You know, so, but at the same time too, what I've been through isn't only for me. There's others that are going through it. So me being able to get through it and get on this side of it means I can go to somebody else who's going through it or has been through it and support them through it and be like, hey, I know it's hard. It's not going to be easy, but you do have the possibility of getting through it. And it's going to take some time. It's going to take some things, because it took a long time for me. I got out of prison and I fell right off my path. I was great for a long time. I'm not going to say that it was just rainbows and butterflies. It wasn't. I ended up having my daughter, and at this point I was already, you know, public speaking at churches and going, and I was so full of shame that I fell off my path that I was like, I'll never go to a church again. I'll never speak again. I can't go back into that community again because I'm a sinner, right? Like I can't show my face and do any of this. And I just went deeper and deeper and deeper into an opposite life, right? Almost back to where I had started. And that's when I got the message from Rosemary.
Wow.
And she just reached out. She's like, I'm praying for you. And it was the best message I ever received. And I mean, like, that's another idea of obedience. When it's that, you know, spirit in you, the spirit that's in you that says, send a message to this person, call that person, stop and buy food for this person on the side of the road.
Yeah.
Do it, you know, yeah. just do it. Because that was the whole turnaround, and began the whole turnaround for me, where I kind of just poured out to her, and she's like, hey, you know, talk to Jen Defoe Turner, who was the pastor at the Hamilton Church at the time. And she pursued me a lot, and I was just like, I'm not talking to this lady. Like, she doesn't know what I'm going through, kind of thing. But she did understand, and she was a friend, and she was able to talk to me, and just, I ended up saying, like, okay, you know, I'm going to go back to church. And then from that day, I never stopped. And I kept going, and that was me going, because I hadn't sang after that, too. I stopped singing. I wasn't writing any music. Like, all of it had stopped. And after, this is right around COVID now, 2020, that I returned. So it's been 5 years. 5 years. And that just hit me the other day, because I was going through my pictures and I saw something from July. My birthday's in July. And I saw July 2019. I was like, man, I was at the clubs and doing all this kind of stuff. And since then, God had turned it around completely. 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 To the point, like, my daughter, she would have been like 3 or so at the time. She had never been to church. She had never heard me, like, you know, I would sing songs. She had been dedicated. the same pastor that I have now, Michael Austin, he dedicated her back then when she was 3 months. And he was like, man, I knew you weren't walking with God, but you had faith. I knew that you were coming back, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so I'm not going to say, you know, for believer or non-believer, whatever your belief is, I'm not going to say that any path that you, it's not easy, but I believe in Jesus Christ. And if I didn't, I know that I wouldn't be where I am right now. And I can say that because I was baptized in prison. I was walking with him. I walked away and went back to the world. And the way that, you know, let's go home and I'm stressful today, so I'll just put my feet up and have a drink. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with drinking. You drink in moderation. The Bible says it's okay. Wine, he said it's okay. Right? So we get those pieces. But then it was just a matter of what is right for me. It wasn't okay for me, for my daughter to see me and know that this is mommy's drink. I don't touch this drink. That wasn't okay for me, right? It wasn't okay for me to be sneaking out to be able to smoke in the back. It wasn't okay for, like, there were certain things I was just like, there's got to be better than this. There's got to be better than this. And once again, I'm not condemning anybody. I'm not here to condemn it, and I'm not going to rain on anybody. But I know for me, God delivered me from those things and has transformed my life as a result of that. And it all comes down to just obedience and obeying him. So we started going to that little church on Hamilton Street. That's where I got my love and my joy back for music. And just singing. I went in there and it was middle of COVID and everyone was singing and they were just like mouths closed. I was like, what is this? What's happening right now? This was the thing that I always loved, going into and this music. And I was like, nothing's happening. I was like, so what's the loophole? Where's the loophole in this? Mm. And Rosemary's like, oh, we need someone to lead worship. I was like, I'll do it. And that's where everything started. Wow. From there. And so Rosemary's been very, you know, she's such a faithful woman of God. Like, she's just popped up in all these different places in life. And I know she does that for so many people, where she just makes these connections. She speaks into so many, she's spoken into so many different people's lives. And it just has been a blessing to a lot of people, has been a blessing to me. So I'm very grateful for her and very grateful for my relationship. And I'm grateful for every person along my path, good or bad, where it's been good or bad. I'm grateful for it.
That was Marcel Lambert on The Regime with Yenny at CKMS 102.7 FM Radio Waterloo.